Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
Good morning. Just want to release the kids really quickly for children's church. And this is totally not what I had planned to open up with this morning, but I'm going to go off the page here, see what happens. It's always fun. Just piggybacking off what Heather had said about the presence of God, the Spirit of God. I remember when I was in my 20s, and I was saved, and I was going to church, but I was struggling. I was struggling in my mind, which is actually going to tie into the message. At some point, we'll get there. But I was struggling, and I go to a Wednesday night church service, and there's a man preaching by the name of Mike Abbott, okay? And he was an older guy, and he was really wound up that night. He was running from side to side of the stage, and he kept saying over and over again, "My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Whenever I feel this, someone is going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost." And I just remember sitting on the pews thinking, me, that's me. This is my night. I want this. And I don't remember what else he said that night. I honestly wanted him to hush and do the altar call because I was about to explode out of my chest. And I went down to the front when he finally called the altar call. I go down to the front, and I just start praying, and these beautiful people come around me, and they start praying, and I just feel the presence. And then the thoughts that start coming, you guys know we all have them. This isn't real. This is just you. You're just doing this. You look so silly. What are you doing? And this man comes, and he leans down beside me, and he said, "This is not just you." It was like he was in my head. He said, "This is not just you. He's right here. All you have to do is reach out." And I reached out. And the next thing I knew, I was on the ground. And I was on the ground for about an hour. And all I know is that I felt love like I have never felt in my entire life. And I have been loved. I have been loved well. I have a very good family. But I have never been loved like that before. And these waves of love came in my heart and started just pulling up things that I didn't even know were there. I had no idea the condition of my own heart and my own mind. And these things started coming up, and when I'd open my mouth to release it to the Lord, it would come out in a tongue. And I was getting free. I was freer and freer each time I opened my mouth up and it came out of me. And when I got off that floor after about an hour, I was a new person. I was set free, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Lord took me on a 2-year journey with the Holy Spirit, and it was friendship with the Holy Spirit. And during those 2 years, He would reveal different mindsets, strongholds that I didn't even know were there in my thinking, because He had already delivered my heart, but my mind was a bit of a process. And He would remind me, He would show me these strongholds, these different things in my mind, and one by one, I was set free, and I was transformed, and I'm still being transformed. And I said all that to say this, to piggyback off what Heather said, it's available for everyone in this room. He's hovering, he's looking for a place to rest. He's looking for someone who's hungry, And when he comes, you'll never be the same. The presence of the Lord and the awareness of his presence will transform and change your whole life from the inside out. And it's a beautiful, beautiful friendship. So this morning, you don't have to wait for anyone to do anything or do an altar call. You don't have to wait. Just welcome him right where you're at. Just welcome him into your life, into your heart. The presence of the Lord and awareness of the Spirit of God with you, filling you and transforming you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to go back to my paper here. Okay, so today I want to talk to you guys about the revelation that peace is your weapon. Okay, now I used to think of peace as like a restful moment here and there. You know, maybe at the beach, the wind, the breeze, the singing between your toes, all those things. I thought of peace just in like a moment. But in recent weeks and months, the Lord's just been really showing me that peace is so much more than that. That peace is our weapon. And as this revelation started flowing from the Holy Spirit, it just started guiding my life. And that's what walking in the Spirit is all about. He'll reveal a truth to you, and then he helps you walk that truth out. So let's go ahead and pray real quick over the message. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for deliverance that's going to happen today. I thank you for peace that passes all understanding. God, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, and that awareness of your presence with us and in us will absolutely change everything. Amen. So when I looked up in my concordance of my Bible about peace, it uses the word shalom. And it says, this word means much more than peace. It means wholeness, wellness, well-being, safe, happy, friendly, favor, completeness, to make peace, peace offering, secure, to prosper, to be victorious, to be content, quiet, and restful. It also means to destroy the authority that binds to chaos. It means to restore in the sense of replacing or providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole and complete. So shalom, or peace, is used to describe those of us who have been provided all that is needed to be whole and complete and break off all authority that would attempt to bind us to chaos. That's some good news right there. That's some good peace. So when I think about peace, there's two areas in life that we need peace. We need peace in our mind, our inner world, and we need peace in life, our outer world, our relationships, our homes, work, where we go. We need peace in both these places. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. All right. And it says, for although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. We have supernatural weapons to bring down strongholds in our minds where the enemy hides. These strongholds begin with believing a lie, and then our brain will look for proof to validate that lie. The lie is not true. It is just what we believe to be true. For example, if I believe that no one wants to be my friend, because I do not have friends, my brain will use that as proof to validate the lie. And a stronghold is created. And it's usually the stronghold of loneliness, which is an epidemic really in our society today. But the truth is, when I walk into a room, I'm guarded. I do not smile or make eye contact. I don't speak to anyone. I don't say hello. That is why I don't have friends, not because no one wants to be my friend. You see how the enemy can take simple things and trick us into a stronghold and a belief system that is not true. But we need to remember that we have an enemy. I don't like to talk about him a lot, but we have an enemy, and we were born into a war. And our enemy will use anything to bring chaos into our thinking. He'll use past experiences. He'll use something that somebody said, something that happened a long time ago. But we must remember that we have a mighty weapon of peace that can demolish these strongholds. Each one of us has to live with our own minds. You live with your mind. You know what's going on inside your mind. I have to live with mine. The truth is, though, that we can all have a peaceful and renewed mind. We can have the mind of Christ. It is possible to have a mind that is in fellowship with God, and it's through peace, our mighty weapon. Our minds should serve us and love God, not be in a place of chaos, of torment, where the enemy uses strongholds to hold us down. So let's look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues. And I actually took a screenshot really quickly of the definition of subdue, and I just want to read it real quick. There it is. Subdue means to overcome, to bring under control, to bring under control by force. So that definitely sounds like a weapon. Okay, so peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. So I just want to tell you this morning that peace is limitless. It's limitless, no matter what we face. And that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, which means it's not circumstantial. It's relational. So we see in these verses that peace is an expression of God's love. And God's love is the most powerful force, and it will never run out. The Bible is clear that God's perfect love will cast out all fear. The fruit of love in all its varied expressions is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. It's not by works. It's not by striving. It's not by religious duty. It's not by trying to be good enough. It's not even by trying to kill your flesh. I know all those things, but that's not the way. It's by an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, knowing Him and spending time with Him. All fruit comes from intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and He reminds us we are God's precious sons and daughters. So we're going to take a look at the second area that we need peace, and that's in life in our outer world, okay? You guys all know, you've all been through things. I have too. Life is full of ups and downs. It's full of suddenlies and amazing moments, heartbreaking moments, happiness, and disappointment. And we need the weapon of peace through it all. Psalm 34, 14 through 15 says, "Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. The Lord sees all we do. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. Now it says to make peace our life motto and to practice being at peace with everyone. It doesn't say only be at peace with people who do not disappoint you. It doesn't say to only be at peace with those who do not who don't disagree with you or who are not annoying. And the list can go on and on and on. No, it just says to practice being at peace with everyone. And I love that it says practice, because sometimes we do lose our peace. Sometimes we do have a moment. But when we lose it, just get back to it quickly. Just remember quickly, oh, I need to practice peace here. And the promise is if we practice peace with everyone, then the Lord will watch over what we do, and he will answer our prayers. We don't have to make them happen. He will answer them. Oftentimes, we want to fix the person or situation, and what we do is we end up partnering with chaos and manipulation and control instead of peace. All right, let's look at Mark 4. 35 through 41. And I know we've all heard this story a bunch of times, but we're going to read it again because it's so good. All right, it says that same day, after it grew dark, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So this was Jesus' idea here, okay? Leaving the crowd behind, the disciples got into the boat in which Jesus was already sitting, and they took him with them. Other boats sailed with them. Okay, I just want to pause you here. I would not have wanted to be in one of the boats without Jesus. I'm just saying, that would not have been good. Suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious storm arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was nearly swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. So they shook him awake, saying, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to die?" Fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush, be still." All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" But they were overwhelmed with fear and awe, and said to one another, "Who is this man who has authority that even the wind and the waves obey him?" So some things I just want you to think about that I want to pull out of this story, just for you to think about. How long did the disciples wrestle with this demonic attack, this storm, using their carnal or natural weapons? I mean, they were fishermen. They knew the sea. How long did they wrestle using their natural weapons before they realized that they had access to something greater? They had the Prince of Peace on the boat with them. And how often do we do the same thing? His presence is our weapon of peace. Some other things from the story to think about. The quicker you find Jesus in a storm, the sooner you find peace. I love this quote by Bill Johnson. He says, "Peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone." We need to come to a place of trust in the Lord where we realize that it is better to be in the boat with Jesus in the storm than on the shore without him. If we have him, we truly have everything. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus." And I love this verse because it reminds us that sometimes we got to give up that human understanding to actually understand, because the answer won't be there. It'll be in peace, and that peace is in Jesus. And I learned this a few years ago. Many of you know Nathan was deathly sick for about 2.5 years. And we had tried everything. We had taken him everywhere. We had tried every medicine. You should have seen our medicine cabinet and our counter. It was full of anything and everything that we would try to help him get better. We had exhausted everything that we knew to do. And during this time, he had been at UNC Hospital for about 10 nights. They sent him home. He had a terrible pneumonia. It was in both his lungs, and it looked like the Van Gogh Starry Night. Like, each little star was another pneumonia, and his lungs, both of them were covered in little stars. They sent us home, and we had a follow-up with the pediatrician. And we go to the pediatrician, and they're like, they didn't know what to do. He sounds pretty bad, but he's not worse. Let me call UNC and see what they say. And they were just, UNC just said, hey, he's not worse. Just stay home, take the antibiotics, he'll get better. So we go home, and we had been home for about an hour and a half. And I walk by his room, and I hear him breathe, and it didn't sound. He had been breathing really bad, but this sounded like really, really bad. And so I go and I lay in the bed with him and just lay there with him, and I'm just hearing him, and it's sounding like he's drowning. And he's gray. His color is gray. And so I hop up and I grab our little O2 finger thing. Thank you, Monty, for that. And we put it on his finger, and it says 62, his O2 level. I'm like, oh my goodness, no, I'm looking at this backwards, like dyslexia is kicking in, something's going on, like this isn't right. I look again, it's 62. So I take it off his finger, and then I put it back on, and it's still in the 60s. So we knew we needed to move quick. We rushed him out of the house. I got him in the van. I don't recommend that. Call 911, but we did what we did. I drove him. And on the way to the emergency room, I had been reading Philippians 4 for 2 years. I had gone through all the processes of grief and then went through them again and again. But when we were riding in that car, in that van that day, I was praying, I was crying, I was trying to keep Nathan awake. I did not want him to go to sleep because, to be honest, I didn't know if he'd wake up. And all of a sudden, I gave up. I don't even understand how it happened because I wasn't thinking about this verse. All I know, it was the Holy Spirit, that I gave up my right to understand. Because for the last 2 years, over and over, I wanted to understand. How did this happen to my son? Why did this happen when we were trying to do the right thing and put him in a good place and he could learn about the Lord and then this happened? It doesn't make sense. Why? But in that moment, I gave up the human reasoning to understand because none of it mattered. All I knew is that I needed Jesus. I just need Jesus. That's who I need. And in that moment, this peace came. This peace came that I can't even describe. I had never experienced it before. But it was peace came in that car. In the middle of a storm that didn't end right away. It went on. He went back to UNC Hospital for 8 more nights. We went to an intensive care floor. I think the nurse thought I was in denial because she was just like, you know, this is a really intensive floor. We have really sick patients. Some stay for a very long time. Some don't make it off this floor. And I think she was telling me all that because I think she thought I was in denial, but I wasn't. I was in peace. Because I had exhausted every other natural avenue and none of it had worked, but I had the Prince of Peace with me. And I realized that if I have him, I have everything, even if I don't understand why it happened. The peace that transcends human understanding is powerful. Some other translations say the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So basically, if you protect your peace will protect you. And so the next part of this message is going to be a soaking prayer time. And I know that may sound different. Maybe some of you haven't ever done that. But when you are in a soaking prayer time, you just turn your mind onto the Lord. You turn your attention and your focus, your mind and your heart to Him. And you just come as you are. Not really an agenda, nothing hidden. He sees it all. And you come to Him. Because you're gonna see with the verses that I'm gonna read over you guys that when our mind is on Him, the peace comes. When our mind is on the storm, when our mind is trying to make human understanding, when our mind is on what went wrong or what they did, the peace doesn't come. The peace comes when our mind is fixed on Him. And that's the beautiful thing about soaking, is that it's just a peaceful, restful, there's not a lot of words. It's just, here I am, Lord. I love You and I need You. And He comes. So if we could have the music. And you'll notice, have you guys just close your eyes as they begin to play, and just put your mind, your attention, your focus on the Lord. And if you want to come down to the front, you can. If you want to stay where you're at, you can. If you want to stand, sit, you can. And I believe during this time, there's going to be peace that passes all understanding released. And I also believe there's going to be deliverance in strongholds in our thinking. So I just want you to just keep your attention on the Lord and just be brave. You know, oftentimes, at the doors of your destiny, at the doors of that you're supposed to walk through, that God has for you, there'll be the dogs of doom. You know, like the big guard dogs. And they're all bark, but they look scary. But if you just keep on pressing in to the Lord, you'll realize those things don't bite. They're just loud and scary to try to keep you in a box. All right, so just close your eyes. Just tell the Lord you love Him. Lord, we love You, Jesus. We just put our mind and our heart and our attention on You. And we let go of control. And we let go of worry. And we ask that Your peace come and fill those places in us that control, fear, and worry once occupied. We break off agreement with those natural, carnal weapons. They don't work. They just don't work. And you'll notice when you're here and your mind is on the Lord, some of those things will begin to surface in your mind. Some of those things that you've been worried about or could be shame. It could be fear. It could be lust. It could be suicidal thoughts. Any of that stuff. And as it begins to surface, give it to Him. Don't try to repress it. Don't try to hide it. Give it to Jesus, because He's already carried all that to the cross and won the victory. We don't have to carry it. It's too much to carry. Regret, give it to Him. If you are absolutely wrong in a situation, give it to Him. A past that makes you feel shame, give it to Him. If you're stuck on trying to understand why, how did this happen? Give up that. Because His peace transcends that and will make the answers known to you through Jesus. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. In His word I put my hope. Isaiah 26:3 through 4. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. Trust in the Lord forever. Lord, I thank you for perfect peace today. And we put our minds on you. Lord, we put our minds on you because we trust you. Just like the disciples, we go to the stern of the boat, we go to our Prince of Peace, and we put our eyes, our mind, our trust on you. We are not alone. Fear is a liar. Worry is a liar. Doubt is a liar. John 14:27. Jesus says, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. The fruit of peace is limitless. It's limitless. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Lord, we just bring our request. We bring the worry. We bring the doubt. We bring the storm. We bring the heartache. Faith-filled request, overflowing gratitude, even before we've seen the answer, because we know who you are. We know how good you are. Tell Him every detail of your life. Don't repress it. Don't shove it down. Tell Him, tell Him, tell Him. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. Lord, your kingdom is real. Your presence is real. Your power is real. Your love is real. Your faithfulness is real. Your friendship is real. Your love is real. Your peace is real. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Lord, we'll praise You in the storm, and we'll praise You when the storm is ceased. You are worthy to be praised. And the God of peace will be with you in all things. The God of peace will be with you in all things. Psalm 34, 14 through 15. Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. The Lord sees all we do. He watches over His friends day and night, and His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to Him. Psalm 85, 8. Now I listen carefully for Your voice, and I wait to hear Your promise of peace. The message every one of Your godly lovers longs to hear. Psalm 85, 12 through 13. Yes, the Lord keeps raining down blessing after blessing, and prosperity will drench the land with a bountiful harvest. For deliverance and peace are His forerunners, preparing a path for His steps. Lord, we praise You that deliverance and peace are Your forerunners, preparing a path for Your steps. So today, Lord, we choose peace. We choose peace in the storm. We choose peace in our relationships. We choose peace in our homes. And God, we thank You for deliverance today. And we break off agreement with fear. We break off the agreement with any identity that is not found in You. We are not what our past experiences say. We're not what other people say. We are who You say we are. Lord, thank You that today is preparing a path for Your steps. Lord, we're anticipating, excited of how You're going to show up in our everyday life, in our homes, in our families, because peace is Your forerunner. It prepares the path for Your steps. God, I thank You for exposing lies that we've believed. The strongholds of the enemy are being demolished by the mighty weapon of peace in this house today. No more torment, no more chaos, because Your peace frees us from being bound to the chaos. And God, we don't have to work anything up. We just rest in this. We rest in You, in Your presence today, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And I did feel like there was one more thing I just wanted to say. Two more things. One for parents. I feel like there might be parents either in the room or watching online. Maybe your children, maybe they're not serving the Lord. Maybe they're not involved in church. Maybe they've taken a different path. And that maybe you've taken on that identity, that heaviness, that guilt, that somehow it's your fault. And you've carried that. Well, I just want to tell you that that's a lie, that it's not your fault, that our Father is the most perfect parent ever. He's the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father. And He created a perfect garden, and He went to His children every day and spent time with them. He was the perfect, perfect Father. And His first two children rebelled. They went against the plan. They went against what He had taught them. It didn't mean He wasn't a good father. He was a good father. They just chose differently. And it's the same for you. So if you've been carrying that, just give it to the Lord today. That's not your identity. That's not true. And that shame has lied. You are a good parent. You were and you are a good father and a good mother. And some of you may be thinking, well, this moment feels good. It feels peaceful, but I got to go back into the world this week. I got to go back into real life. And I don't know how to carry this into real life. And I just want to tell you, it's available all week for you. Maybe you don't have an hour, but you've got your commute to work. You've got 5 minutes before you go to bed. Just those little moments where you turn your mind to Him, because a mind that is on Him is a mind that's full of peace. And it's just little moments during the day, and the peace comes. And the fruit grows. The fruit grows. Jesus, I thank You for giving the gift of peace to each one of us. It's a gift, and it's our weapon. And we rest in that. The restful, peaceful atmosphere of Your presence with us. You are the Prince of Peace. I thank You, Lord, for this revelation of peace this morning. And I pray that it would burn in every heart and just keep growing and growing and growing. Because Your kingdom's always expanding, and we go from glory to glory. We just receive it, and we cherish it. We cherish Your presence with us. I pray that everyone in here has an awareness of Your presence like never before, an awareness of You in the storm, an awareness of You wherever they are. I thank You for the shalom of heaven. I thank You for the mighty weapon of peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you're local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.